You're listening to Truly Criminal, the home of true crime. To see the video version of this case, including the footage and photos, you can find us on YouTube. Just search for Truly Criminal. The sleepy town of Hamburg, New York, home to about 60,000 people, with many making the move there with the intention of raising a family and settling down for life. The Wells family were just the same. Lawrence Wells Jr., known to everyone as Larry, was happily married to his wife Jill, and they had a four-year-old daughter, Maddie. The couple had just found out they were expecting their second child too, another little girl. Larry and Jill had been high school sweethearts, meeting at 15 and dating shortly after. They went to college together, and Larry focused on teaching. He had always wanted to work with children, and after getting his master's, he started working as a substitute teacher and mentor. Jill said if he had a little kid who had problems at home, he would take them under his wing and make sure they had the best possible life they could have at school. Sadly, however, due to the economic conditions at the time, no school was able to offer Larry anything permanent and could only carry on doing things on a temporary basis. Jill said they were ready to buy a house and start their family at this point, so her husband knew that as much as he loved teaching, he needed to get something more solid. A little deflated but undeterred, he went straight into the job hunt and started working his way up the retail management ladder. He soon found a position that he thought would suit him perfectly.
Welcome to the world's greatest toy store!
Make all their wishes come true at Toys R Us.
Larry was a big kid at heart. He loved toys, gaming and gadgets, and working with and spending time with children was something he enjoyed. So when his local Toys R Us was looking for a new assistant manager, Larry went for it. It was certainly a different pace than what he was used to, but Larry took the long hours, overnight shifts and weekend and holiday working in his stride. He said he loved seeing the kids come running through the doors, dragging their parents by their arms and pointing down the aisles at all the toys. With a four-year-old daughter himself, it just made him happy. When he wasn't in his store, you could find him taking Maddie to a Chuck E. Cheese or having long walks on the beach with Jill. He just liked the simple things. On the morning of June 29th, 2013, the Hamburg Toys R Us was about to experience one of their busiest mornings. New lines were coming in and the delivery was big. On days like this, the store would be open as early as 1 a.m, right the way through until closing time. Today, it was Larry's delivery shift to manage. He woke up at around 3 a.m. and set off. At 4:08, Larry let the delivery driver in to start unloading the stock. At 4:30 a.m, the same driver was let out via the back door, and Larry carried on with his morning. Just before 5 a.m, two employees named Richard and Anthony arrived to start their shifts. There was always a radio left outside so that people could let management know when they arrived. The manager would then let them in, but lock the door straight away. Richard and Anthony radioed Larry, but they got no response. Richard walked around the side building where he found an open door. This was surprising as all exterior doors were always locked. He clocked in and entered the store anyway, alongside two of the co-workers who had the same idea, Isaac and Cindy. The delivery needed working and everyone just carried on. Perhaps Larry was still checking off the delivery or on a conference call. The store was so big after all, that they could all often go hours without even bumping into each other. But a few minutes later, the store alarm started to go off. The first thing that Larry would do when he started his shift was deactivate the alarms. With still no answer on the radio, Cindy headed off to try and find him. The noise was starting to annoy everyone. Suddenly, over the piercing wail of the alarm came a scream. Cindy had walked into the office and found Larry slumped in his chair. The phone was beeping and off the hook, and he was bleeding heavily from his chest. It looked like a gunshot wound. Under the fair assumption that a gunman might still be inside the building, the employees ran out of the store, and a frantic Cindy called 911.
911 emergency.
Toys R Us. Okay, what's going
on? I don't know. He was
shot. Toys R Us? Is
he inside?
Yeah.
Is there anybody else there?
Yeah, I have two other guys with me. Oh, my God.
Was he there with you?
Oh, my God.
OK, Okay, what's going on here? Who's here with you?
I'm a staffer, and we had a manager jumping at 4 o'clock. We were on loading truck. And not to let somebody in. And then another person told me the toy store was open, and that's how one of the other staffers got in.
Armed officers arrived quickly and tentatively entered the store, fully prepared for a standoff with a shooter, but they couldn't see anyone around. Moving into the office, they found Larry clinging to life with a very weak pulse. It was not a gunshot, but 3 stab wounds to his chest. He was bundled into the ambulance, but tragically, just before he reached the hospital, he succumbed to his injuries and died. A SWAT team was now in the building, and it was confirmed that whoever had killed Larry was definitely no longer there. For something like this to happen in a locked building full of cameras, with people inside and working, the whole situation was even more shocking, especially to have happened to someone like Larry. Journalists and detectives said that the crime rate in Hamburg was as close to non-existent as you could get, so something like this was jarring. They didn't know whether Larry had unlocked the door by mistake and it was a chance intruder, or if it was a worker with their own key. In terms of who would want to kill Larry, it went without saying that he had no bad blood with anyone and no disgruntled employees. Going into the office, they noted that nothing really seemed out of place. It looked exactly how you'd expect an office to look. It didn't look like anything had been taken and no drawers were open. But looking around Larry's desk, they did spot that the main cable for the CCTV system had been pulled out. A 2007 University of Florida Gators cap had also been left on the floor too. This definitely seemed out of place, and it did have a lot of DNA on it to be able to test. The 4 employees at the Toys R Us at the time were pulled in for questioning right away, and the police were on the fence with everyone. Isaac was nervous under investigation. Richard had arrived late to work with no alibi for where he was before. Cindy had been the first to find Larry, and Anthony actually refused to answer any questions, which seemed odd. Believing that the baseball cap was a key part of finding Larry's killer, they took DNA swabs from all 4 of Larry's co-workers to compare to it. It was confirmed that the same DNA on the hat was also a match to the DNA found on the cable, which had been pulled to stop the cameras recording. But this DNA was not on the police's file.
Noon. Police are hoping someone's going to come forward to help catch the killer who attacked a manager at a Toys R Us in Hamburg. News 4's Anthony Conji is live with the very latest on this investigation. Anthony?
Well, Diana, the Toys R Us did reopen this morning. It was the first time since the assistant manager was stabbed to death inside the store on Saturday.
Police continued to search for evidence outside the Toys R Us Monday morning. More than 2 days later, no arrests have been made for the murder of 35-year-old Lawrence Wells. While police have not yet made any arrests, they do have a key piece of evidence, a 2007 Florida Gators championship hat left behind by the suspect. Police will be testing the hat's contents for DNA, but hope the hat may jog someone's memory.
Now, the funeral for Larry Wells will be held this coming Thursday in Forestville. Police are asking anyone with information to please give them a call. We hope to have much more on the investigation coming up tonight on News 4.
Jill said as heartbroken as she was, the support that was coming in for her and Maddie via social media was so lovely and overwhelming. Toys R Us employees nationwide, as well as people with no connection to Larry at all, were sending their love, and reading all the nice things that people had to say was putting a smile on her face. The Facebook page had almost 3,000 supporters in just a few days. The head of loss prevention for the region was Bernard Grusha, who went by Bernie, and he was soon called into the store by head office. He was ready to help the police with the cameras and check over the building. He was a frequent face in that particular Toys R Us, and Larry knew him well. The cameras showed that at around 4:20 a.m, someone had been lurking outside the front door for a few minutes before getting inside. It was unclear whether they had forced the door open or unlocked it. They entered the store in dark clothing, covering their face. Experts felt confident that it was a man, but apart from the hat, there was nothing they could make out. They had done a good job of concealing themselves, and the camera quality was poor at best. Larry's killer started moving quickly through the aisles, zigzagging around. He was careful to avoid some of the cameras and he was hard to keep track of. On one camera, though, they could make out him wearing the same cap that was left in the office, and he was carrying a huge knife in his right hand. At 4:32 a.m., the person moved into the office. The door was open and Larry was not inside. Seven minutes later, at 4:39 a.m, all the cameras stopped recording, and this was the moment the cable had been pulled out. There were no cameras inside the office either. Larry entered just after this and walked right into his killer. They all stood there looking at the black screens, helpless, with no clue as to where to look next. Bernie burst into tears, telling officers that Larry was more than a colleague, he was a friend of 6 years. Bernie had even been the one to interview and hire him. Detectives could definitely say one thing with certainty now. They were sure the suspect knew the store's layout before he went in. It seemed so unlikely that a random intruder would risk doing something like that, with all of the lights in the store on, knowing that there had to be people inside working. But investigators had taken DNA from dozens of employees at this point and hadn't gotten a match to anyone. Despite the initial feelings and possible suspicions they had about the four people working there that morning, through DNA testing, they totally ruled out Richard, Anthony, Isaac, and Cindy. They had lost their boss and friend and found him dying. What happened unsettled all of them, so it was no wonder they were nervous and didn't really want to talk.
Good evening. 1 month has now come and gone since a brutal toy store murder. And tonight, family and friends are still desperately seeking answers. Now, despite surveillance pictures, a hefty reward, and desperate pleas from family members, his killer remains on the run.
Authorities were hitting a wall, though. As good as it was that they were ruling people out, they weren't adding any suspects to the list, and things were coming to a grinding halt. It had now been 3 months since Larry was killed, and Jill, along with the police, were worrying that it might not get solved. Police in Hamburg were scared that someone could not only have got away with murder, but they were still out there walking the streets. Jill said all she could do was sit by the phone and wait. Larry's 36th birthday came and went, and then there were all the holidays coming up. Larry loved dressing up with Maddie for Halloween, then it would be Thanksgiving, and then Christmas. All of these things she had to help their 4-year-old through as well, who didn't really understand what was going on. And then Jill would be having her second baby without her husband by her side. It was a very vulnerable and scary time for her.
Murder remains a mystery, but tonight family and friends are rallying to support the family left behind. Rachel?
This is the biggest benefit that the family of Larry Wells has had so far. All the proceeds will go to support Wells' wife, his daughter, and their unborn child.
More than 400 people have bought tickets to tonight's benefit for the family of Larry Wells, bringing the total raised so far to over $10,000.
We have hundreds of volunteers, donations, baskets. It's just been amazing. It's overwhelming. But I think for Jill and for Maddie and our little baby on the way, I certainly think that this is a wonderful event.
Hamburg police are still looking for Wells' killer, the man seen in these grainy surveillance photos from inside Toys R Us. Their best piece of evidence remains this 2007 Florida Gators National Championship baseball cap, which they say the suspect was wearing and left behind.
Police were testing that ball cap for DNA evidence, and they were also trying to enhance the surveillance photos, but as you just heard, the suspect still has not been caught. If you have any information about him or anything about the murder of Larry Wells, you are asked to contact Hamburg police at 648-5111. Reporting live in Lackawanna, Rachel Kingston, News 4 at 6.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Police were now desperate and enlisted the help of the FBI, knowing they needed more resources. They suddenly realized they were missing a DNA swab from one person. Someone that was around the store a lot, someone that had been helping the police from the start with the investigation. 38-year-old Bernie Grusher. The regional loss prevention manager. And now that they thought about it, he had avoided participating in the DNA test several times, and often for silly reasons. Police called Bernie, again asking for a quick meeting for a sample. It seemed unlikely that he would be involved, but ruling him out was still a good thing to do. Bernie said he would, but he was at a Toys R Us conference and would get back to them. They then called the Toys R Us head office, asking when the conference was over and when they could expect him back in Hamburg. Their stomachs dropped when the person on the phone replied, "Conference? There is no conference." It was clear that Bernie wasn't going to be coming to them anytime soon, so they needed to go to him. A few days later, they tracked him down at his father's house, and fortunately, he was there, but he didn't seem nervous at all and was happy to cooperate. And just 20 seconds after they knocked the door, they had their swab. A quick turnaround in testing left everyone stunned. It was a match to the baseball cap and the cable. Was it really possible that the person who had been so keen to help, so willing to show them the cameras, the man in charge of security for the region, and someone who had sat and cried with Larry's family at his funeral, was his killer? They wasted no time and headed back to interview him. When asked about the DNA on the power cord, he said this was silly to even question, given the fact that it was his job to look at the cameras in all stores, and this occasionally involved unplugging things to reboot them. His DNA being on the cable was nothing, and they could probably find it on all the cables in all the offices in all the stores. But the ace up their sleeve was the baseball cap. Bernie said he hadn't got a clue. He didn't know of any such cap.
There's one other issue. And it's a major issue. Okay. You never saw the hat. You don't know who's in that video. How is your DNA on that hat?
My DNA is on the hat? I have no idea. The only thing I could think of is the fact that I saw it. It makes no sense. Guys, I didn't do this. Hilarious.
Police offered him an out, asking if it was some sort of argument that had got out of control.
This is your opportunity.
Guys, I didn't do it. I'm sorry. I don't know what you want to say.
You made a mistake. Don't make another one today.
Whatever, guys. Your DNA is burning. Great. I didn't do it.
Not great.
Bernie started panicking.
I know the camera.
Right.
I know the system. If I did this, there's no f***ing way I would have left all this evidence.
Realizing that this was going from bad to worse for him, he said he needed a lawyer, and the interview came to an end. He was so adamant that he had nothing to do with this, and with no motive standing out as to why he would want to do this, it was a worry for detectives. Had they got this all wrong? But to everyone on the outside, Bernie's life was a stark contrast to the reality, and this motive would soon become clear. Everyone thought that Bernie had it all. A gorgeous, recently renovated home which he shared with his wife and two children, new cars on the drive, and a great job with a fantastic salary and lots of benefits. But he was actually well over $1 million in debt, and his wife Heather had kicked him out, obtaining a restraining order against him in the process. He had pushed and shoved Heather, ran upstairs and shot the gun. She found him face down on the floor. When she rolled him over, he said, "I wanted to see if you still loved me." She described his behaviour as violent and bizarre, and after he moved out of the house, he started renting a new place with his girlfriend. His house was full of brand new sealed toys and expensive electronics, all boxed up and labelled and all stolen from various Toys R Us stores up to hundreds of miles away from Hamburg. He had been selling it all on eBay, making around $200,000 so far. And being part of the regional management team, getting access to any store whenever he wanted was not hard for him. After all, who was going to look at someone in charge of security as a threat or problem? Given how brazenly he had marched around Larry's store that morning, knowing there would be people working a delivery, showed just how confident he had become with his scheme. They also found a memory card which showed Bernie filming various Toys R Us stores with a secret camera, scouting out the stock and camera locations.
Man is being held without bail on murder charges in a case that stunned Western New York.
38-year-old Bernard Gruszka was a regional manager for the store and is in jail this morning. He played an interesting role in the investigation, though. Police say he was unusually helpful and spent time consoling other employees, as you see here in this video.
He was always on the radar, but, you know, it was a matter of having really too much information to pour through to, you know, until it finally got focused on him.
Throughout the day yesterday, police raided two homes in the case, one in Elma, where Gruszka is listed as the owner, and the other in the village of Allegheny, where he was arrested. Police say they collected more evidence from both places.
We hope it brings closure to the Wells family and all his friends. It's been a tough, you know, 3.5-4 months for them. So it feels good at this point.
In July 2014, faced with a concrete case against him, Bernard Gruszka finally pleaded guilty, but to the charge of manslaughter instead.
Why did he not confess at the time? Well, what I can tell you is it took my client time to come to terms with what had happened.
Attorney Frank Hausch says Gruszka's wife was battling cancer and they were struggling financially. So the regional vice president for loss prevention was there to steal.
Several factors went into the decision to offer a plea to a lesser charge of manslaughter instead of second-degree murder.
Police did not believe the defendant had the intent to kill, and that would have made it very difficult at trial to convince a jury that the defendant had an intent to kill when the police, the investigators, are saying he doesn't have the intent to kill. Most importantly, to me, is that the victim's family agreed to the disposition.
Through his lawyers, he said that killing was never the intention. Larry was, essentially, collateral damage in his plan to steal from the safe in the store. Bernie said he had planned it all from the start. He tried to make it look like he didn't have the keys when he got to the front door that morning, spending a few minutes outside pretending to force it open, to throw police off the scent. When Larry entered the office, Bernie came at him from behind the door, brandishing the knife and telling him to open the safe. But Larry instantly lunged at him, fighting him back and refusing to open anything. Larry tried to grab the scarf covering his face and in the process knocked his cap off. Bernie then stabbed him 3 times and fled the office, just as Larry fell to the chair, grabbing the phone to try and call for help. His friend said that it was Larry all over. His colleagues were his friends and he would have fought back to protect not only himself, but them as well. Little did he know that the person who had done this to him was someone he called a friend. Bernie's lawyer said, "At the time my client committed this offence, he was trying to get money to support his family. He did not anticipate encountering Larry Wells. The death was the result of an unfortunate encounter in an enclosed space. He knew Larry Wells. Larry Wells was a friend of his. He had no desire to see Larry Wells harmed." But it had to be noted that he had turned up to the store with a knife. This indicated that he was at least prepared to use it. Why bring it otherwise? One detective said it is common for burglars to not arm themselves and to use stealth. They are there to either steal money or property and get out, as opposed to robbers who announce themselves, who come in with guns blazing.
No parent or anybody should have to go through this. My family was changed forever. It was the worst day of our lives.
Today, a judge handed down the maximum sentence for manslaughter.
Bernard Gruszka was sentenced to 25 years plus 5 years probation. This was the maximum length of time he could get, and the judge said the maximum was absolutely the only option. Larry's joys and loves in life were simple, his job and his growing family. When he woke up that early morning, it was a work day like any other, and by mid-afternoon he would be home again, ready to take his daughter out for dinner and play games. It was such a totally senseless and heartbreaking killing, at the hands of someone Larry not only trusted as a colleague, but saw as a friend too. Matt Chandler, a local journalist, had followed the case closely and talked to Jill a lot through her grieving process. With a young daughter of his own, he told Jill he couldn't imagine having to explain that a parent wasn't coming home. Jill said that she and Maddie had written little letters to him, sending them to heaven in balloons. This inspired Matt to write a book about helping children to grieve and understand death. It was called Balloons for Heaven, and the illustrator put Larry, Jill, and Maddie in there together as a tribute to a wonderful father, husband, and friend. Larry's drawing had wings and was wearing his favourite football team's jersey as well. The book came out on the 1-year anniversary of his death, and Matt donated all the money made from the book launch to Jill and their girls.
It's hard. It's been a really difficult month for me with my daughter graduating preschool and getting ready to go to kindergarten. She started doing it at the funeral. She drew pictures, wrote tons of stuff to him, and put him in with him.
Before he died, Larry said he liked the name Peyton for a girl, so Maddie gained a new sister, Peyton Larry.
Mom, how old is I here?
You were probably 3.
Ooh, I like that one.
What is that?
Daddy on the beach here.
Remember these places where we went to?
Yep.
Peyton never met her dad, but Jill and Maddie will make sure she knows him.
Everyone says Maddie not only looks like her father, but has his personality too. Jill said, I lost my husband, my best friend, the man who I love so much. We were supposed to grow old together, raise our children together and watch them grow up. But instead, he was taken from us. Our daughter lost the best father she could have. They did everything together. She doesn't understand how someone could take her father from her. I want to make sure she remembers all the memories, and I'll keep showing her all the pictures and telling her stories so she always knows how much her dad loved her. He was amazing. We are so grateful to all of our viewers and all of our patrons, and we'd love you to consider joining our little community over on Patreon. It supports us as a channel, and we couldn't be more appreciative of anyone that does so. It also gives you behind the scenes, extra episodes, and early ad-free access.